Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and today I'm joined by Jeff Arbogast, who is a member of our church here at the Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg. And Jeff, we have a couple guests with us today. Would you like to introduce our two guests?
Sure. We have Alex Sinjimana, who is a shoebox recipient from Rwanda back in 2011. And we have Eric Lapointe, who's a regional director at our Baltimore office with Samaritan's Purse.
And at the time of this recording, this will play later than our actual recording, but we had Alex come to the Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg to an event for Operation Christmas Child to share his testimony. And we thought it would be good to have him in. And at the time this recording is playing, it's right before National Collection Week. So just having Alex in here and the fact that he received a shoebox and now is part of the ministry of Operation Christmas Child, kind of giving back, so to speak. So Alex, if you would just want to start out telling us a little bit about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Yeah, thank you, Grayson, for having me. It's a joy to share what the Lord has done, how he continues to use the ministry of Operation Christmas Child to impact children all over the world. My story and my encounter with Operation Christmas Child started in 1995 when I was 7 years old, living in an orphanage, when I got to receive an Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift. I was living in an orphanage because of atrocities that had just taken place in the country of Rwanda. Back in 1800s, the people of Rwanda were divided in tribes, and because of the tribalism, many people, there were division into the tribes, and one tribe would hate another tribe. And so because of this hatred that was created, people believed in it and they carried on it. And then in 1994, that hatred grew up and busted onto a genocide against the Tutsi tribe. So from April to July of 1994, this genocide took more than 1 million lives, and over 400,000 orphans were left in the country. So me and my brother and my sister, we were living in a small village outside of the capital city, being raised by our grandmother and our two uncles. But because we were among the Tutsi tribe, we were among the first people that they came looking for in our village. And we were attacked by these militias who were made of our own neighbors we grew up with. And they came and they would kill our grandmother and one of our uncles. So me and my brother and my sister were in tears. We were wondering, why are these people doing this to us? These are people we know by name, people we grew up with. How can my own neighbor hate me so much when I didn't even do anything to them, to the point where they would take our relatives' lives? So when that happened to our grandmother and our uncle, we left the village and went to the city. We lived to live with our aunt. We had one uncle left who would bribe the militias for the following week. And when he had no money left in his pocket, that's when he came to us and said, look, you need to leave the village. You need to go to the city and stay with your aunt, because I cannot stop them if they come back, if they come back here. So we walked for an hour and a half, got to the city. And when we got to the city, we lived with our aunt for some time. But in the city, there were so many family members who had come from the villages and had come for protection. So we had about 19 people living with our aunt. It was a time when there were noise going on everywhere from left and right. So in the middle of the night, we would find ourselves sleeping under the bed instead of on the bed, so that we can have an extra cushion, because sometimes bombs would go off and debris would come through the roof. And it was just a difficult time. But God protected me and our family when a man's weapon didn't work, when he snuck into the backyard and he went to pull the trigger, and instead of his weapon loading, his magazine fell out. And in the moment, my aunt's husband came back in the backyard where we were, and he says, what are you trying to do with my family? And the guy said, no, I was just joking with them. I was just playing with them. He was not there to joke around, because if his weapon would have been loaded instantly, I would not be doing this interview. It got worse in the city. Eventually, we had to run. We ran for a period of about 2 months altogether. And after, while we were running, now Rwanda is a very beautiful, small little country in central east of Africa. The nickname for the country is a land of a thousand hills. So we're climbing hills after hills. And one of the most vivid way that God saved my life that I always love to carry on the humor is when I was running and I would slip and fall down to the ground, then a bullet would miss my head. And when I looked on the ground, I had actually slipped and fell in a cow pie. The area where we were was there were a lot of cows in that area. And so I tell people whoever listens to the testimony is to never underestimate the power of God. He can use even a cow pie to save a life. Yeah, it was such a difficult time, but in those moments, God was always with us, even though we didn't see God, I didn't see him. After the genocide, I was put in an orphanage, and I get into this orphanage and I was living with the 250 other kids.
Oh. Alex, I understand you received your shoebox gifts while living in Rwanda. What was your life like as a child?
So when I got into that orphanage, we got into this orphanage, about 250 of us were all starting to process everything. As little boys and girls, as children, it was quite a difficult time because we had seen so much trauma. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, we would be screaming out of our nightmares. But one day, I'll never forget when they said, all of you, today is a special day. You're going to get a gift. So we ran and we lined up in the yard and they hand out these shoeboxes. Now we were thinking, you know, this is a great moment for us to receive a gift. We didn't know. They said the gifts came from America. So we're so excited to receive these gifts. And then they said, don't open your gifts until all of them have been handed out. So some of us had to hold our gifts for a long time. Now, these were from Operation Christmas Child.
Right.
Yeah. Samaritan's Purse was already in Rwanda right after the genocide ended in July of 1994. And when it ended, they came and they started to help people physically with their World Medical Mission. And then a year later, they brought Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes to our orphanage. And that's when, as a seven-year-old, I actually got to receive a gift for the first time. Now, that was special.
Sure. And yeah. What would you say was the most important thing that you received in that shoebox gift?
In that shoebox gift, my favorite item was a hair comb. A hair comb that was so unique that on one side had a brush, on another side had a little pick. So I kept that hair comb for the next 3 years. But all of us opened our shoeboxes, there were school supplies, there were hygiene items, there were toys, and there were these bouncy balls. I can still remember the way the shoebox smelled, just the scent and the way things felt. The other item that was a favorite is an item that can no longer go in the shoebox. So if you're listening, do not put this item in the shoebox gift. My favorite item of all the items in the shoebox gift was a candy cane. Now, I had no idea what a candy cane was, and I'm feeling it. It's hard, and smelling it, it didn't smell good because it was so tightly wrapped. And so I decided to eat my candy cane, and I realized halfway through it that the candy cane tasted better without the wrapper. So I took off the wrapper and enjoyed my candy cane. But it was such a special moment that I will never forget, receiving that Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift.
Alex, one thing I've thought about, having heard your story a couple mm-hmm. times, I don't know if you were necessarily aware of it at the time because you were seven, mm-hmm. but you'd obviously had some experiences that made you trust people less. Mm-hmm. Maybe even now, thinking back on those that gave you that shoebox, mm-hmm. did it change? Did it impact your perception of people and
yeah.
whether they were good?
Yeah. When I received that shoebox gift, there was a sense of hope. And receiving that shoebox gift actually really, it was more of a healing moment actually, because we had faced the trauma. The only people we trusted were the people in that orphanage, the people who ran the orphanage. Mm-hmm. So when the director of the orphanage said, hey, we have a gift for you, today you're going to get a gift, it was so special that it helped us. We trusted the guy. We trusted all the leaders in the orphanage. And so that's when we were so excited to know. And it helped us understand that someone out there was thinking about us, that we were not forgotten, because there was a sense all over in the country that the world had forgotten about the country, the world had forgotten about the people of Rwanda. But it was a glimpse of hope that actually someone out there is thinking about us, and the eternal impact that shoebox gift, it actually planted a seed of the gospel in my life for the very first time.
Powerful.
So Alex, how did you end up coming to the United States?
Yeah. So I came to the United States after receiving a shoebox gift. I, the seed of the gospel was planted. Then I went to Uganda. I joined a choir called African Children's Choir. And while I was in Uganda, this is when the Lord started to get a hold of my heart. I actually, this time is a time when I actually gave my life to the Lord, because after receiving the shoebox gift, now I'm in Uganda. God has sent me people to disciple me, to help me process all the bitterness and anger and the trauma that I had gone through. And as I was being discipled and reading the Bible, this is the moment when I started to ask questions like, does God love me? Does God care? Does God exist? So in those moments of struggling, I looked back and saw the miracles that God had done to protect me. It was during this time that I actually invited Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. Then I came to the United States for the first time with a choir, and we would travel for 2.5 years singing in churches and schools. And then we went back to Rwanda. But then in 2003, I got adopted into a family in Minnesota. And that was another miracle of how God connected me with that family. And when I came to the United States, I was in high school when the student council said, hey, let's do a project. And they gave the student council the leeway to lead it for the whole school. And I remember hearing about this project. And then I said, hey, you know, a student said, let's do Operation Christmas Child. And I thought, I asked them, what is Operation Christmas Child? And then they showed me the logo. I tell you, the next day, me and my friend, we were standing in front of the whole school assembly of 300 some students, talking about how Operation Christmas Child really impacted our lives. And so I shared my story, I shared the candy cane story. The candy cane can no longer go in the shoebox. And it was such a moment that I will never forget as well. And then so I started to pack shoeboxes. Then the special part was that I learned about the deeper part of the ministry a couple years later, because when I went to college, I took it on as a project leader. So the project leader is a person who leads Operation Christmas Child in their local church, encouraging the congregation, encouraging the community to pack shoeboxes. So I was that, the lead for my school. But in 2009, I went to a processing center for the first time, where the boxes are sent to be inspected and prayed over, prepared for shipment. That's when I got to learn about the bigger picture of the ministry. That's when I learned about the greatest journey, the 12-week discipleship lesson. And I got to learn that kids are receiving the tangible items, but they're also receiving the gospel. And that really encouraged me in a deep way. And I want to get involved even more.
So how old were you? You mentioned that you were adopted in a family in Minnesota. You also had mentioned that prior to that, you were a part of a singing group that came over here.
Yeah.
And what age was that? And also you had mentioned about receiving Christ. So any of those three things that you would like to share more about?
Yeah. So I was 9 years old when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior while I was with a choir in Uganda, the training center. And this is when I was being discipled. The chaperones who were with us were starting to, the choir, the African Trans Choir is a Christian organization as well, and were teaching us about Jesus, and we're reading the Bible. And it was this moment that I started to read the Bible in a different way. So then right in the middle of that, we finished our training in Uganda and then came to the United States in 1998. So we traveled for 2.5 years. Then while we were traveling, we would meet that family. And in 2003, when I was 15 years old, we actually finished our tour in 2000. Then in 2000, we went back. It was May that we went back to Rwanda. Then in 2003, I was 15 years old when I got connected with the family in Minnesota. And I came to live in Minnesota and then started to pack Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. It was so special.
I have a question for you. So now that you're packing shoeboxes for kids, how does that make you feel? And another question about that is, what is your wow item that you put in your shoeboxes?
Yeah. What is my wow item, and how does it make me feel to pack a shoebox gift? Every time I pack a shoebox gift, it always reminds me of the day that I got to receive mine and the impact that I pray for that child. When I'm packing that shoebox gift, I'm praying that that child who gets it may have an encounter with their Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, that through their local church, they can be discipled, and nothing that can hinder them from having that opportunity. And my wow item is always a soccer ball and a pump. And sometimes I've put in a small one or a big one, but sometimes I also put a stuffed animal. But definitely the wow item that I always get in my box is a soccer ball and a pump, because I know how fun it is when a boy or girl receives a shoebox gift and they get that soccer ball. They're not going to be playing that soccer ball by themselves. When you put that ball in there, or that toy in there, you're blessing more than 10 boys and girls. And it's so beautiful and brings joy to the child.
So you kind of answered the next question I was going to ask you. So what happens to these children who receive the boxes?
Yeah.
They share the balls that you send.
Yeah.
And they
And they,
as a community, and they get to know each other even more.
Yes. When children receive Operation Christmas Child Shoebox gift, they're so excited to even share with their friends. Because sometimes I've had this question, you know, wouldn't one child get jealousy if someone gets something in their box? And kids are kids anywhere in the world. But one of the most beautiful moments that I have experienced is seeing kids actually sharing items. Because one may get an item that really they may not want or want to swap items, but that's the kid's decision. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With us packing shoeboxes, we keep the integrity of the shoebox gift. When the child receives that shoebox gift and then you see them sharing and excited together, sharing the joy, I've seen more of the joy in sharing and interacting with the shoebox gift than kids being jealous of each other.
We heard a story about this recently from one of our ministry partners, and actually got a couple of videos from the Bara people in Madagascar. Mm. And one of our ministry partners really had a heart to minister to this particular people group. And it's a longer story, but we have a video. One of the popular games that the kids used to play, they would stand in two lines. I think of Red Rover for some of us who have been around before smartphones. But what they would do, they wouldn't send a person, they would throw rocks. And they would throw rocks at each other. And the bigger the rock, and the more you hurt someone, that was social currency for the kids in the Bara culture. And we got another video after they had their first outreach event. And those same group of kids on the same field are playing soccer together. And so you can see that immediate transformation from shoeboxes, obviously for the individual children, but even for the community, as Alex is describing so well.
Amen. And so, he talks about the integrity of the shoebox. Like, we never know. Like, some items you might wonder, well, this is going to this country. Why would they need that? But there's stories of even things that went to countries where you wouldn't think they would need those things.
Yeah.
Where, like, oven mitt. I remember one story about a kid that received a shoebox that had oven mitts, and it was a hot country, but his job was to take the hot pot off the stove, and he would always burn his hands. So those oven mitts. So that's just when you talked about the integrity of the shoebox, that's what I thought about.
Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah.
So Alex, you were able to return to Rwanda to the orphanage you grew up in and hand out shoeboxes. Could you share that experience with
us? So in 2013, I finished college. And right after I finished college, I had this opportunity to do an internship with Operation Christmas Child. And I had I moved from Minnesota to Boone, North Carolina. And that's where I am today. But right before I moved to North Carolina, I had the privilege of going with Operation Christmas Child back to the orphanage. And we got to deliver shoeboxes in the same place I grew up in. And that was very special. It was powerful. It was so special to stand in the same place. When I was 7 years old, this time I was 25, and I got to hand out shoeboxes and got to see the kids. But the most exciting part was to see their smiles. And I have a picture of me and one of the kids, and he's kind of like, we have this heart-to-heart conversation, non-verbal connection, where he's asking kind of like, what is this? A candy cane. And I say, look, you got to figure it out on your own. But he was so smart, and he quickly figured it was wrapped candy. It was a candy cane, and he quickly took it off and ate his candy cane. It was so special to be able to see the kids being impacted.
So while you were there, that's the same time you were able to go visit the man that took your uncle's life?
Yes. So during this time, I had been praying for over 12 years for God to grant me the opportunity to meet the people who had caused me pain. And the reason I had been praying for that prayer is because when I was being discipled, one of the people who discipled me really challenged me and said, Alex, what if you were to sit with the person who has caused you the most pain in your life? What would you do? That question really challenged me so much. And I said to pray, Lord, help me to heal. Because at that time, I realized that I was not ready. I wanted to specifically plan and thought how to kill them as well, to do exactly the same thing that they did to my grandmother and my uncle. And that scared me, that kind of hatred was in my life. And that's when I started to pray. So actually in 2008, I went to Rwanda for the first time in 5 years after moving to Minnesota. And I got to go to the village, and the government of Rwanda was bringing people together to bring reconciliation among the people who killed and victims. And because of this process, this is, in our native language, it's called Gachacha, where it's a reconciliation process in Rwanda. And because of this process, many people have asked for forgiveness. And you are finding that on one side of the street, there's a guy who killed a member in a family on the other side of the street, and they're both living in harmony because they've reconciled. It is so incredible. So I wanted to be part of that, but I went and it never happened. The only people who didn't show up on that day that I was there was the guy who killed my grandmother and the guy who killed my uncle. And I thought, God, I'm trying to take my step forward, but you're not taking yours. It is not fair. 2010, I try again. Didn't happen. Then 2013, when I wasn't even trying, this is when I said, you know what, I'm here already. Let's try to go and see if it's possible. The process of going to the prison and entering and meeting anybody in the prison when you're not family, it usually takes about 3 weeks. But in about 3 hours, we had all the permission we needed. So I find myself seated next to this guy who had killed my uncle because I found out new information that the guy who had killed my grandmother had fled. So we had to have a conversation, and I got to ask him, do you remember me? And he would say, no, I don't remember you specifically, but I remember 3 children being there. And he would say, especially that older girl. The older girl was my sister. In that moment, I would lose it. In that moment, I would be in tears. But I know that in that moment, God took my healing process at a different level and helped me to realize that he had answered a prayer. Now you may be listening to this and thinking, oh my goodness, look what Alex have done. My desire to share this is to glorify the Lord for what he's done. In my human nature, there's no way I would ever wanted to sit in front of that man. But it's what Jesus Christ did in my life, planting that seed of the gospel. And for me, that shoebox gift that I received as a 7-year-old planted that seed. And along the way came people. God sent me people who discipled me, who watered that seed, who continued to counsel me and prune me and lead me, help my faith continue to grow. And then God's word challenged me in the Lord's Prayer. And I remember when I wanted to skip the part where it says, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us, because I wanted to skip that part. But in those moments, God really continued to challenge me, to prune me and help me. And that's when I prayed. And I believe that in 2008, I was not ready. I thought I was. But God knew that I was not. And so I share this to, maybe you're listening to this and you have yourself have someone who has caused you pain. Maybe for you, it's not a person who killed a member in your family. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe for you, it's your coworker, your boss, your friend, your girlfriend, your ex relationship. Or maybe for you, it's not no one else, but it's yourself. And you blame yourself for something that happened or you did. The journey of forgiveness is difficult. But God can help us through it. And I share this because that's the gospel. Maybe it can help you by listening to this to start your own journey of healing, the same journey that started when I was a little boy being challenged. And it's the same gospel that goes with each and every shoebox gift that is packed. Since 1993, over 220 million children have received Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes, have gotten an opportunity of the gospel. Incredible.
I was introduced to Operation Christmas Child in 1995 by my father-in-law when my kids were small.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I remember packing shoebox. My mom would take me and my sister, and we'd pack shoeboxes. Yeah. Usually I would do one for a boy, she would do one for a girl. But, you know, listening to you talk, I can't imagine what you've gone through and what you had to deal with, but it's the power of forgiveness. It wasn't easy. I'm sure you still have. And forgiveness doesn't take away the pain.
No.
Forgiveness, I've heard this said before, forgiveness is you giving up your right to hurt the man that hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's powerful testimony.
Yeah, we praise God for allowing me to experience that freedom that he offered.
Right.
And that's the same freedom that he desires for all of us in our own journey of bitterness and anger. But he can help us through it all. And today in the country of Rwanda, you have people who are free by eye, like you can see that. But internally, they live in bondage. Yet the people who committed crimes during the genocide have asked for forgiveness and they're redeemed. If Jesus Christ comes back today, who sits in glory, the person who may have been considered a person who killed, but they're not killers anymore. They've been redeemed by Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so, it's incredible what God continues to do. And countless times last year, that are over 11.3 million children got to hear that message of the gospel because of people packing shoeboxes. Mm. It's incredible.
It's an amazing story. It's got such a prodigal son feel to it, the way you tell it, of what it means when you do come run to the Father, and recognizing your own brokenness and sinfulness. And maybe my last question goes a little bit of a different direction. Grayson alluded to it earlier. People often feel burdened What do I pack in my shoebox? And obviously we want them to pray because the Lord is able to do absolutely miraculous things with those things, with whatever is in a shoebox. And so, but we don't know what country it is and we don't know what the child is. And so beyond prayer, you've talked to a lot of people, you've seen a lot of shoeboxes. What are the things that you like to remind people as they wrestle with what to put in their shoebox?
I love to encourage you as a shoebox packer, and you're thinking, my goodness, what can I do? I want to get involved this year. Well, maybe you've been doing it for many, many years. Yeah, like so many other people around the country who are packing shoeboxes, or maybe it's your first time. So think of this. We have a goal of packing a fun shoebox gift, a fun shoebox gift with items such as school supplies, toys, hygiene items, and then wow items. You know, I mentioned my wow item being a soccer ball and a pump. So if you put in a soccer ball, you got to put in a pump with it. And then you make that shoebox so full. I mean, so full. If you shake that shoebox gift and something is rattling in there, that means there's still room in there. And then personalize that shoebox by writing a letter to that child, because that child is a live and breathing child who is going to be reminded today. I know of friends who still have the pictures of letters that they got from the people who packed their shoeboxes years ago. And so those items are fun and full. And then it connects with the child and reminds the children that they're special. So school supplies, hygiene items, toys. And we have so many ideas on our website at samaritanspurse.org/OCC. You can get some ideas if you forget about what to put in a shoebox gift. And then we actually get started quick, because November 18th through the 25th is when we collect these shoeboxes. And so it's probably coming up really quick. So get the shoeboxes ready. And then also on that same website, samaritanspurse.org/OCC, nearing that drop-off date, you can enter your zip code, go on that website, enter your zip code, and you can figure out where the nearest location will be made over church where to drop off your shoebox gift. It could be a mile, it could be 5 miles from here.
Right.
We could also remind the packers that they can pay for their shipping online, and they'll find out where their shoebox ends up going.
Track their box. Yep. And also, if you're not able to get out, you can pack shoeboxes online.
That's
correct. You can go on and choose the items that go in your box and pay. I don't know what the fee is off the top of my head, but
Thanks for bringing that up, Grayson, because that's it's a lesser known part of the program, the ministry. It costs $25, fills your shoebox, and pays for the shipping. But one of the cool things, in addition to getting to still personalize it and choose all your items, because we are able to kind of curate the items in these boxes, we're able to send all the boxes that are built online to hard to reach countries, whether either hard to reach because of physical location, or hard to reach because the gospel is hard to share in those countries. And so not only does it give you the flexibility of not having to go out and shop, but you know you're preparing a shoebox to be sent into the most difficult, darkest places for the gospel to shine brightest. So build a shoebox online. We refer to it as BASBO. So if you ever hear of BASBO, that's that program.
Eric, thank you for joining us today. Just in closing, and I think you've kind of answered this, so I'm going to kind of make it a two-part question. We call this program Hope Talks. So what is bringing you the most hope right now? Is there anything else that we haven't asked you already about your testimony or about Operation Christmas Tide that you'd like to share?
What brings me hope is knowing that one more child gets an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this gives me courage to share and encourage someone to pack a shoebox gift, encourage, share the testimony that God has given me to carry to for his glory. And one last thing I can say is thank you for you who are packing shoebox gifts. Know that your work is not in vain. And if you've never packed a shoebox gift before, it's an opportunity to take the next step. The next step, and I want to personally challenge those listening that next step. On the personal level, is what would be your next step in your journey of forgiveness and your journey of healing and living that freedom that Jesus Christ offered on the cross? Maybe your next step is actually you've never taken an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and start the same journey, a life-changing journey in your life with your faith. And you've been maybe blaming God for everything that happened in your life. maybe your next step is to make that decision and stop blaming God. Maybe your next step is to pack a shoebox gift and bless another child. Maybe your next step is to share God's love with someone else, your neighbor. Invite someone to church or invite someone in your home and practice hospitality. Whatever that next step is, don't miss it out, because we have a great opportunity to make an impact in this world. And Operation Christmas Child is doing that. And we hope to pack 12 million shoeboxes this year. And that's 12 million children we hope to reach with the gospel.
Amen. Thank you for sharing, Alex. And,
thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. And Eric, thank you for joining us. And Jeff, thank you for... I think Jeff, I forgot to say, he's our logistics coordinator for this area. And Eric's our area coordinator, but he also works for Operation Christmas Child. And of course, Alex and Jemana shared his testimony. And we pray that as you've heard this conversation today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg, in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.